This is the Financial Sense News Hour with the president of PFS Group, Jim Poplava. Since 1982, PFS Group has offered asset management and educational resources that have helped investors build, maintain, and preserve their wealth. Now, here's the Financial Sense News team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
You know, Jim, I just know that people want to get out of the rat race and retire. They're just tired of it all. And so they've been very interested in your lifetime income series.
John, where are you, in Arkansas?
No, Colorado. But the further east you go, you get closer to Arkansas. So, you know, it shifts like that. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you covered a topic as to whether you should take a lump sum or an annuity if you happen to be offered a retirement package by the company for which you work. Now, quite often, this, of course, can be an early retirement because they're trying to make arrangements to deal with their own financial issues. But apparently, we have twanged a nerve because a lot of our listeners seem to be facing the same thing. So it's important today on the program to return to this topic, to examine it in depth. And I think what we'd like to do also is give some real-life case studies so we can see how it actually plays out, not just in theory, but in people's lives.
All right. Well, a lot of companies are doing that today. They can either give you some kind of an annuity option, John, which is going to be based on, let's say, your life or a joint life, let's say, between you and your spouse. Or they might say, look, here's a lump sum, and this is it. You can either take it in cash in a lump sum, with most people probably rolling it over to an IRA to avoid taxation, or you have the annuity option. And sometimes you get a little mixture of both, depending on what kind of pension plans were set up at the time. But I would say the first thing that comes to mind when you're presented with these kind of facts, and we're going to go through seven important steps or questions you need to write down and answer before you make that big decision. Because the first one is flexibility. Now, if you select an annuity option, and let's say it's X amount of dollars, let's just say they're going to pay you $2,000 a month for the rest of your life, and let's say the same amount to your spouse, or maybe it's a reduced amount. The problem if you choose this fixed annuity option, it's not going to change. 5 years from now, you're going to get the $2,000. 10 years from now, you're going to get the $2,000. What happens if you have some special needs that come up? Maybe there's an illness. So the one thing that you have to think about is how much flexibility do you want in your retirement plan? Now, if you have a bunch of assets outside your pension, let's say you sold a home or you have a personal investment portfolio, well, maybe the annuity option may make sense to cover the bulk of your basic living expenses. So the first question, John, is flexibility. Now, the advantage of taking money in a lump sum is, number one, you can invest the money in any way that you want. You can put it in stocks, you can put it in bonds, you can put it in cash. I wouldn't recommend that now with Ben's new plan. Or you can spend more or less. You can dip into principal. Let's say you have some extra expenses. You need to buy a new car. Well, you can take extra money out of your IRA to pay for that new car. Once you select an annuity option, you don't have that from the company.
You know, the thing that pops to mind just first off, when we're discussing this, is the what would seem to be a dilemma, whether you A, invest the money yourself, or B, you have some kind of a guaranteed pension from the company for which you work. The sound of a guaranteed pension seems to be a better sleep at night proposal than investing it yourself, because you have to worry if you invest it yourself. This is how the thought pattern would go anyway. If you invest it yourself, you're going to have to worry about that to make sure that the money's coming in, that you've put it in the right investments. Whereas if the pension's guaranteed, that little old check just comes through the door every month.
Well, you're right. And that's a second factor that you got to take a look at. There are people out there that maybe have had bad experiences in the investment markets. Maybe they don't have the investment expertise or even the time to even deal with it. And under those circumstances, John, you're absolutely right. Getting a monthly check, it comes from the company, it's guaranteed. You know it's going to be there this month, next month, 5 years from now. For some people, that may make a lot of sense in the way that They don't have to worry about the stock market going up and down. They don't have to worry about if Ben Bernanke's lowering interest rates or, well, the only thing you do have to worry about there, and this is an issue down the road, are inflationary expectations, because if you take a fixed pension from a company, you know, that pension's never going to change. There are some government programs, for example, in the state of California here, if you work in the education field, your pension goes up, I think it's like a little over 2% a year. But guarantee and promises are a very important issue. But here's a third issue that also comes into play here, John. And that is, do you want to leave a legacy? So if you worked all your life and you've got this lump sum of money that's at the company, if you choose an annuity option that's going to be either based on your life or a joint life, let's say between you and your spouse, you know, if you live a long time, you will get a lot of mileage out of that. But here's the problem that crops up. What happens if you don't live a long time, and when you both pass on, there is nothing to leave your kids or your heirs? So if you want to leave a legacy to your children, you know, that may be important to a lot of individuals who have children that are struggling, that would like to leave something to their kids to help them as they plan for retirement, because taxes and inflation are eroding more and more of our income. Think back, John, when our parents were working. That was back in the day when one spouse went to work, they got the golden handshake and pension and retired, and you could live pretty well. But we went off gold backing. Today we're printing money. Inflation is higher. Wages, because of globalization, a topic we covered in the second hour, have not kept up with inflation as much. So inflation is an issue, and leaving assets to kids is another issue. So it's not just guarantees. I mean, this is a very, very complex decision. And the thing about it is, once you make that decision, you know, you're stuck with it. You take a lump sum, you're going to have the responsibility of managing it. If you take an annuity, you can't go back to the company 2 years later and say, hey, Ben is printing money today, I want to change that, can we talk about getting a lump sum? No, you made that decision.
Yeah, there's a very important variable in there, and we looked at it quite early on in the program here during the big picture, and that is the whole subject of inflation. Because inflation destroys the value of the dollar or any currency as being a standard of wealth. In other words, you can earn a dollar, but then it starts to erode away the more they inflate. So I don't think anybody believes, given especially what Ben Bernanke is going to do now, he's going to print money as far as the eye can see, as far as we know, and we don't know when that's going to stop. So that means sooner or later, we're going to go into some very severe inflation, more sooner than later. Interest rates, very, very low, at least until 2015. How do you deal with this issue? Because the value of what you have invested or saved or taken in distribution is going to be changing as you're trying to make plans for the future. It affects both the value of what you're going to earn. It affects the value of the things you're going to have to pay, as far as just even staples staying afloat, like energy and food and healthcare.
Well, I'm going to combine two variables that are very much related here, John, and that is decision complexity, meaning you have to manage the money if you took it in a lump sum versus, let's say, in an annuity, and inflation protection. So let's address complexity first. The advantage of a lifetime annuity from the company, you don't have any investment decisions to make. You don't have to worry about if interest rates are going up or down, the stock market is going up or down. You're getting your check every single month, and that's not going to change. Now, if you manage yourself and you take a lump sum, you are going to have to be constantly monitoring your portfolio, because just take a look at the markets over the last 12 years. We've had two bear markets in the stock market, the tech bubble bursting at the beginning of the last decade, and then also the recession and credit bubble bursting between 2007 and 2009. I mean, just look at the last 3 years. The market goes up the first part of the year, then we get a correction, and then Ben comes back, prints more money, and the market goes back up again. So the decisions are certainly more complex. If you don't want to do it yourself, you better hire somebody that you trust that is competent to make those decisions for you. But more importantly, John, you do have to deal with inflation. And as we always try to point out, people are living longer today. Between a husband and wife, given normal life expectancies, between the two, probably 25 years of your adult life will be spent in retirement. And I can tell you this, your cost of living, the things that you have to buy today are going to cost you more 5 years from now. They're going to cost you even more, 10 years, 15. And especially when you get into the latter part of your retirement life, where expenses really start to escalate with medical expenses, you're taking more prescription for your health. Maybe one of you gets a serious illness, has to go into a retirement home, or needs special needs care. Those kind of things come up, and that's an important and many times neglected aspect of retirement. Now, here's something that is almost contradictory, because there are a lot of people that took lump sums from their company for this very reason, John. They wanted to make their own investment decisions. They wanted flexibility. They wanted more control. They were concerned about growth in inflation. And yet I see, you know, just like Bill and Jan, one of the first case studies that we did here on the program, where he took a lump sum back in 2006, $800,000, invested in the market. Then along came the crash of 2007 and 9. And he lost $150,000. So when I met him, that $650,000 was in cash. It wasn't even earning a rate of return. It was barely above zero and certainly nowhere near the inflation rate. So you've got to be real careful there that the original reason that you made that decision, that you have some kind of plan. Because if you're just going to leave it in cash, you would have been better off just taking the annuity option.
Well, unless you happen to be a wizard who gets younger the older he gets, we do know that the older we get, we're more likely to run into health problems, especially considering however you've taken care of yourself prior to that time. And when we talk about variables, inflation is one of the variables. Health implications are another. You know you're going to have more health issues. It's just a question of how many.
Well, there's a couple of things that you have to think about here. If you are in poor health, you are definitely better off taking a lump sum, because if you're in poor health, your life expectancy isn't as great. You know, you don't want to take a pension option and 2 or 3 years later you pass on, or even both spouses aren't well. So if you're in poor health, you definitely want to take a lump sum. And the other thing is related to inflation. You know, one of the things that we try to do when we're counseling couples is we run a one-page health questionnaire on both spouses, because what we do is we take a look at medical facts, current health, and we submit that to one of the nation's largest actuarial firms, and they can come back and say, this is what you're more likely to spend on health, given your retirement and your life expectancy, and more importantly, given your current health concerns or health conditions, this is probably what your life expectancy should be. And so these are very important implications, because health plays so much in a critical role in retirement. And John, I would say it's one of the big issues that we find over and over that people just don't plan for. I met with a couple this morning where the husband has tremors right now. They don't know if this is the beginning or early stages of Parkinson's. And fortunately, he has longevity that runs in his family. He keeps himself physically fit and has a good diet, otherwise in very, very good health. But all of a sudden, this was a big surprise. This started happening, and so they're going to be doing some tests now. So health implications are very important as well.
Well, you know, we've talked about a lot of these issues as we've discussed this over the series of lifetime income. But now with two bear markets, and we've seen drops in real estate prices, gobs of scandals, you know, Madoff and MF Global, how do these factor into what you're planning?
Well, obviously, I mean, if you take a lump sum, you're going to have to deal with safety issues. And that's going to depend on how you invest, how astute you are on making those investment decisions, where your money is held, what kind of investments that you have. But I mean, assuming you do a lot of due diligence or working with a very reputable firm over a long period of time, I think that's less of an issue. You know, the other thing too is, don't forget, even with the pension, you're at the mercy of the pension plan sponsor, and they are the ultimate guarantor of your pension. So you want to make sure, if you are taking an annuity option with the company, you want to find out who is the insurance company and find out a little bit more about the credit rating and the financial standing of the company that's going to be standing behind that option. So these are just a number of issues here that you have to deal with.
That's why we're doing this whole series the way we are right now, because if you are offered some kind of an annuity or retirement package, it's like leaving the door of an aircraft when you're skydiving. Once you leave the door, there's no turning back. And the only question is how well you planned in advance. And what we've looked at here are seven important questions. Number one, flexibility. Two, do you invest it yourself or do you just opt for a guaranteed pension? I guess a third possibility sort of connected with that would be having someone manage the investments for you. Maybe that would give you a half and half. You can breathe a little more easily that way. Number three, do you want to leave a legacy to your children, or are you just planning to kick off when the money runs out? Or investment decisions also is number four, and the flexibility you're going to have in those decisions. Number five, inflation protection. Six, health considerations. And seven, credit safety. So as I said, when we look at this, this really is a very large decision. And you need to know what you're doing ahead of time and not just make it on a quick consideration. So maybe to amplify these 7 points that we've been discussing here, let's go to our ever popular real life studies and see how these worked out. And maybe this would help people in making the very same decisions.
Yeah, this first case, we're going to call this the case of Walter Jones. This is sort of an unusual case because when Walter retired, he was age 64. He retired in 1997. And at that time, between him and his wife, Barbara, he chose the annuity option for life because his wife, being a woman and younger than Walter, was thinking, you know, I'm probably going to outlive Walter and I want to be assured, because she didn't have any investment background, that she wanted to be assured that she would have a monthly check that would come in case something happened to Walter and she wouldn't have to be dealing with the complexity. So Walter chose an annuity option that was based on his life and his wife Barbara's life. And he was going to get almost $3,000. And then that was on his life, but he chose the joint survivor option, so he got less money. So he got $2,670, and that would be for the rest of his life and the rest of Barbara's life. Unfortunately, in Walter's case, Walter's wife passed away from cancer about 3 years ago. So, you know, here again is an example of his wife was 3 or 4 years younger than Walter, being a woman, in fairly good health, by the way, when they both were retired, because that was the reason he took the annuity option. His wife was younger. She was female. She was expected to live longer. And so she wanted to be assured that she was going to get a monthly check every single month, wouldn't have to deal with the ups and downs of the stock market. But, you know, you never know what kind of hand life is going to deal with you. And she passed away about 3 years ago from breast cancer. So Walter is receiving this $2,670. And a couple months ago, he called me up and he said, I want to come in and talk to you. I'm being offered the lump sum. And what happened, John, is his company, they were closing down their pension system. They were going to outsource it to another firm. They were basically converting to a 401k. Now, when Walter was working at the company, it was a 401k, and I think it was a combination of a profit sharing or something the company matched. So you did have the option of either taking an annuity option or taking a lump sum. So Walter, because of his wife's concerns, had chosen the annuity option. But now the company contacted him and they said, we're going to give you the option to have a lump sum. And when Walter came in, they were basically going to give him about $243,000. And that number, by the way, just happens to coincide with his life expectancy given his current age. Walter is currently age 79. So he said, you know, what should I do? So we took a look at it. And the first thing we did is we took that $243,000. We ran 3 or 4 illustrations with 3 or 4 companies. I couldn't even come close to it. The closest I could come was $2,200 a month. And you remember, he's getting $2,670 a month. You know, I said, I can't duplicate what you're getting now with the company because when you took this option back in 1997, interest rates were a lot higher than where they are today, which is one reason you got as much as you did. I can't duplicate that.
Okay, but let's suppose that he wanted to take the lump sum and put it into bonds and stocks. For example, you've been talking about dividend and stock type income over the last couple of weeks of the program. What if they wanted to do that with their lump sum distribution?
Well, I mean, you know, the only reason he would want to do that is the $243,000 would be left to his own daughter. But, you know, he has a free and clear home. And he has about $760,000 of assets. So, you know, that wasn't as important to him. And, you know, as we took a look at the calculation, I said, Walter, I said, at $2,670 a year, you're getting $32,000 a year from your company. I said, if I was to take that $32,000 on $243,000, you're getting the equivalent of 13%. There's no way I'm going to be able to match that in the bond market, in the stock market, with any degree of certainty. Yeah, maybe we may see stocks up over 13% as we are this year. But, you know, last year, the stock market was flat. It was zero. So there's just no way that we could have beat that. That is one of the issues that we came in. And the only thing that he was considering was the legacy issue, which would have been if he took the lump sum, rolled it over into an IRA, even after taxes, you know, there had been a little bit more left for his daughter. But between his $760,000 in his portfolio, and you take a look at, he had a free and clear home that was worth about $300,000, you know, close to $1 million, his daughter is going to be well off. So, John, under these circumstances, we decided that the best thing for him to do was to continue the annuity option, which I'm sure the company didn't like because they're trying to wind down their pension operations. But, you know, the one thing that Walter is fortunate in the sense that he lived modestly, both him and his wife, and she was living. They have a free and clear home. He gets roughly about $25,000 a year in Social Security, $32,000 from the company. So he basically can live on between his pension and his Social Security. In fact, he still manages, believe it or not, to save some money because he's obviously 79. His wife's passed on, so his expenses are down. He's not doing the same things, let's say, in travel that he and his wife used to do. So the thing that we're doing now, however, because next year, starting January, the estate tax exemption drops from $5,120,000 down to $1,000,000. What we're doing is I did suggest, rather than accumulate a bunch of money, which he's not needing given his lifestyle, we've initiated a $13,000 gifting program to his daughter. And right now the gifting limits are $13,000. They go up, I think, by an inflation amount next year. So the only thing that we've done is, from an estate planning point of view, is we've initiated a gifting program to his daughter. But John, here was a case where he chose an option at the time he retired, and here it is, what, 15 years later, and the company's coming back and giving him a lump sum option because they're trying to wind down their pension plan. And here was also a situation, the original reason he would have preferred to take a lump sum at the time he was retired. Now, you got to remember what the markets were like in 1997. It was the new economy. The stock market was going up 15, 20% a year. In Walter, at that time, would have preferred to take a lump sum, roll it over into an IRA, manage it, make more money in the stock market as we have in his account. But because of his wife's concern, it was no, she wanted the certainty and the predictability. But who would have known a younger wife in good health would predecease him? But that's what happened in this case. But Walter has good health and longevity in his family. As he said, his mother lived into her 90s. His dad lived into his late 80s. And so he's betting he's going to outlive the 7.5-year assumption on the lump sum. So under these circumstances, it made sense to stick with an annuity.
And obviously, we are going to continue examining lifetime income as we get more feedback from our listeners and think of more important areas which you should be covering if you're planning on retiring and keeping a source of income during those retirement years.
So once again, if there are topics you would like to see us cover here in our lifetime income series, maybe something related to you, send us an email here. And if we get enough emails from you on a particular topic, we will add it to the menu and be sure to cover it here on the program.
You know, I've been listening to some of the election rhetoric, Jim, although I try to avoid listening to a lot of it because most of it is just that. When the issue of jobs or where the economy is comes up in the course of this, or even I think Paul Ryan talked to AARP this week and was talking about the balance, the trade-off between Medicare and Obamacare, for which he got a lot of boos. It reminded me of the time when President Bush was booed when he was giving a State of the Union message before Congress, and he pointed out that Social Security was going to be in trouble. Well, that was just 10 years ago when people poo-pooed that, but here we are talking very much about it. But as we discuss that, we find that people are still not dealing in the real world of exactly where the country stands economically. They're acting as if we just make a few adjustments here or there, well, things will get better, which means we'll have no lack of anything to talk about in the weeks and years to come because we are going to plow into a series of storms.
You know, it was amazing. On that same topic, I was having a conversation with a group of friends, and we were talking about, John, and I don't ever recall an election that we've had in this country where the real issue is we're demonizing a guy because he was successful. He was successful as a businessman. He was successful in turning around the Olympics, and he was successful as a governor. And all of a sudden now, it's like, wow, success is a bad thing. It's almost like the country is going in a completely different direction. But as you say, it's certainly going to be an interesting fall. Lots of stuff to talk about in the weeks ahead. I mean, just, John, just take a look at the events of this year. Just take a look at, would you ever have thought, I at least never thought, I would ever hear a Federal Reserve chairman say, I'm going to print money as far as I can see, and if we have inflation, I really don't care. I'm still not going to stop printing. Talk about a sea change of events. Well, we've run out of time here on the Financial Sense News Hour. On behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you here for joining us on the program. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant weekend.
And subscribe to Financial Sense News Hour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.